For taking a look at the week in Washington, and the focus in the Capitol this week has been on how to respond to the spread of novel coronavirus and the disease that it causes, COVID-19.
President Trump met with health insurers yesterday to discuss coverage guarantees for coronavirus testing and treatment. He's also floating the idea of providing sick leave to all workers and a payroll tax cut to shore up the economy.
The vice president and some federal health officials maintain the risk to most Americans is low, but that daily life in the coming months may be impacted.
Here in Wisconsin, UW-Madison and UW-Green Bay announced today that they'll join UW-Milwaukee in holding classes online starting later this week and are canceling university-sponsored travel for the time being.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the government's response to the coronavirus so far? If you think it's not going far enough, what would you like to see happen, or too far? What questions do you have about what the government is or isn't doing or working on? And what do you think of some of these ideas, guaranteed sick leave for hourly workers, tax relief for businesses? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org.
Julie Rovner is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and the host of Kaiser's What the Health podcast. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So as we just talked about, Wisconsin's biggest university is joining some other colleges around the country in switching to online classes for the rest of the semester. What is the White House and its coronavirus task force recommending in terms of school, travel, and, you know, things like that that could impact people's daily lives?
Well, so far, they're not recommending things at that level. You know, we're still waiting. This obviously changes hourly. But clearly, these universities are heeding, you know, suggestions from public health leaders that the best thing to do at this point, particularly in places where there has been documented community spread or even some places where there hasn't, to increase what they call social distancing. And one of the quick ways to increase social distancing is to do, you know, remote learning. So we saw today in particular, a number of large universities really around the country say, you know, many of them are on spring break or about to go on spring break, saying that, you know, after spring break that we're going to conduct everything online. Some of them are maintaining food service and dorms for students who can't easily go home or who have no other way to basically eat if they are not in their dorms. But most of them are saying that all the classes will now be online.
You know, this is just one of the latest things that we're hearing about. And, you know, as the White House continues to address this, we know yesterday the president and the vice president held a meeting with the heads of the country's biggest health insurance companies to talk about coverage for COVID-19 testing and treatment. You know, Mike Pence addressed this group, and this is what he said about that meeting.
All of our major health insurance companies have now joined with Medicare and Medicaid and agreed to waive all co-pays, cover the cost of all treatment for those who contract the coronavirus. They've committed to no surprise billing, and they've committed to encourage telemedicine.
So what more should we know about this agreement with health insurers, and how was it reached?
Well, it was reached just because of moral suasion, but it's important to know that they don't control everything that the vice president was talking about. Surprise bills generally don't come from insurers. They come from providers. They come from the hospitals and the doctors. One of the things that the administration did do was it changed and made an IRS ruling so that employers who provide their own insurance, and that's a majority of people with employer insurance, have what are called self-insured plans. So the insurers don't really control what those plans cover or don't cover. The employers do, and they needed to make sure that if people who have high deductible plans were able to get these particularly tests without going through the deductible, there had to be a change at the IRS level. They did do that, but it's still hard to know exactly, you know, what the guarantee is here. There's certainly an intent that people not have to pay for it, but, you know, if you go to the emergency room, that's not to say a lot of doctors are telling people who think they might have COVID-19 to go to the emergency room. If you walk into the emergency room, there's no promise that the emergency room isn't going to send you a bill. There was a story today about a woman who was sent to the emergency room by her doctor in New York and got a $10,000 bill.
Yeah, I read that story. I mean, this might be a big question, but, you know, healthcare and healthcare insurance in particular is always sort of a big political topic. And you're right that hospitals are the ones that the surprise billing comes from. Do we know of any move at all to regulate the surprise billing on this front on the hospital level?
Well, no, that's what Congress is working on now, and they've been working on it for years, trying to agree on an actual federal legislation that would stop surprise billing, and they haven't been able to. So they can't just wave a wand and say, you're not going to surprise bill. This is really difficult. The healthcare system is regulated at a number of different levels, at the state level, at the federal level for, you know, the states and the feds share Medicaid. The federal government, regulates Medicare. The ERISA, which is a federal law, regulates self-insured employer plans. State insurance regulators regulate fully insured private insurance plans. So it gets really confusing to have everybody with their little piece of it.
So when they brought the insurance companies to the table as part of this discussion, was there any indication what the insurance companies might be getting from the federal government as part of this deal?
No, there was no impression that they were necessarily getting something other than dealing with a public health crisis. And if we, you know, are able to get some kind of breaks on this system, it might in the end save the insurance companies some money. So it's sort of in their interest for this to be controlled. Although, you know, we seem to be sort of past the what they call the containment level and on to the mitigation level, trying to keep the spread as slow as possible so the nation's healthcare system doesn't get completely over.
So on that front, last week, President Trump did sign a bill with $8.3 billion worth of spending on fighting the virus. Can you remind us where that money is going?
Yes, $2.2 billion of it is going to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. About $1 billion of that will be for states and localities for their public health work, surveillance, testing, and contact tracing for people who've been exposed to people who've tested positive. There's another almost $1 billion for the National Institutes of Health to do its research, $61 million for the FDA, which has some authority over the tests and has, as we've heard, been sort of the bottleneck. Another $1 billion for the State Department and the Agency for International Development to try to get a hold on the epidemic, I guess now the pandemic in other countries to keep it from spreading here. $1 billion in loan subsidies for the Small Business Administration. I think that's most of it.
Yeah, there's a lot in that $8.3 billion. And, you know, this passed with pretty broad bipartisan support in Congress before President Trump even signed the bill. You know, what was the takeaway from, you know, people in Washington as this big bipartisan thing ultimately did pass?
Well, you know, I've covered now a lot of public health crises. I remember, you know, go back to anthrax and H1N1. And it's, you know, when it's a real crisis, Congress sort of sits up and takes notice and does something. But in between these crises, they tend to take money away from public health. And then we have a public health crisis and they say, why isn't the public health system ready to do this? It's because you've been taking their money away for the last however many years it's been since the last public health crisis.
So that sort of ebb and flow between crises and you got the dip and all that. You know, President Trump spoke with reporters yesterday about meeting with Republican lawmakers. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
We're prepared and we're doing a great job with it. And it will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. We want to protect our shipping industry, our cruise industry, cruise ships. We want to protect our airline industry. Very important. But everybody has to be vigilant and has to be careful. But be calm. It's really working out.
Has President Trump been on the same page as public health officials in recent days?
Well, not really. You know, public health officials, particularly some of the ones I follow on Twitter, are really very alarmed. There's not been a lot of testing. The United States in general has not done nearly as much testing as many other countries. So we don't actually know how many people have this. We only know the people who've gotten sick enough and were in the right position to get tested. There are a lot of test results that haven't come back. You know, the president keeps keep saying anybody who wants a test can get it, but that doesn't really seem to be the case. There now it's not a problem with the tests, but with the reagents that help you actually conduct the tests. There's a shortage of those. So there's an awful lot that we don't know about this and how widely it is spreading, and I think that may sort of account for why we're seeing a lot of universities and other groups sort of canceling large-scale meetings and any place where, you know, large numbers of people get together.
In that vein, there's that news story that was making the rounds today that a lot of information has been made classified. Some public health officials that are pretty high up can't access some of these meetings. Is there any concern about the flow of information, and do we know what's happening with that story in particular?
Yeah, there is a lot of concern about that. When Vice President Pence was put in charge of the White House task force, he promised full transparency, and now it appears that, you know, their meetings are going to be considered classified. That's not exactly full transparency. So there is a lot of concern about that. And, you know, if you're trying to quell panic, don't quell panic by saying, we know what's happening, but we're not going to tell you.
We continue our conversation with Julie Rovner, chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and we're talking about the government's response to coronavirus. And I want to take a quick call. We have Savannah in Ironwood, Michigan. Sorry about that. We had a technical glitch. So moving on, over the weekend, the Conservative Political Action Conference, otherwise known as CPAC, several members of Congress had contact with a person infected with coronavirus. Where do we stand on that?
Well, there are, as of a few minutes ago, 7 members of Congress who are self-quarantined, not all of them because they had contact with that person, most of the Republicans because they had contact with that person, and now a couple of Democrats who had contact with someone else who has tested positive. Among those who's self-quarantining is Mark Meadows, who's just been tapped as the new White House chief of staff. So I guess he's not going to start for 2 weeks if he's staying home.
And, you know, President Trump has had a contact with a couple of these lawmakers who are now in self-quarantine. Is this something that the White House is concerned about at the moment?
They say no. Reporters have been asking, you know, has the president been tested? Because he was, you know, a couple of them traveled on Air Force One with him. He was at CDC last week with Doug Collins, the Republican from Georgia, who's now self-quarantining. And reporters have been told that the White House physician has not suggested that the president get tested.
Now we have Savannah back with us from Ironwood. Hi, Savannah. How are you doing?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to say?
I'm a little concerned about the administration's handling of this response, particularly putting Mike Pence in charge, considering he has a history of mismanagement of viral epidemics. I'm also concerned about the transparency, which you mentioned just a few minutes ago. I think that instead of President Trump being so focused on industry and pretending that the stock market's going to bounce back, I think he should be calling in all the troops and getting ventilators manufactured and getting nurses and doctors trained on utilizing them, because we are going to have a huge influx of patients, elderly patients, coming in. I mean, we don't even have any understanding of how widespread this is because we're not doing enough testing.
Thank you for that call, Savannah. And, you know, Savannah hit on a bunch of things. Let's address the controversy surrounding Mike Pence really quickly, because people have been critical of how, when he was the governor of Indiana, he handled an HIV outbreak in Indiana.
That's right. There was an HIV outbreak in one county that was basically being spread by the use of unclean hypodermic needles. And the then Governor Pence did not want to authorize a needle exchange program, which eventually they did. But he has been accused of making that epidemic worse and drawing it out because of his reluctance to use what public health authorities were recommending.
Now, I want to go back to our calls. We have Jeff in Superior.
Hi, thank you. I'm very supportive of the Trump administration's actions. I have every confidence in Vice President Pence and the team that the president appears with at these press conferences. He's not handling this alone, and I think this really is a issue of personal responsibility. We all need to take responsibility for our health long before this occurs and live a healthy lifestyle and improve our immune system and things like that. So you can't blame Trump for the virus or how it's handled. I think this is really a matter of personal responsibility.
So to Jeff's point that this isn't simply on the government itself, but that there is some personal responsibility there. Does that mirror what we're hearing from like the CDC about how people should live their day-to-day lives?
Well, obviously people need to do, you know, what is best for them, but also what is best for the community. This is a communicable disease. That's what's so dangerous about it. It's a new disease that no one has any immunity for. So it's, you know, if you're taking care of yourself by limiting contact with other people and washing your hands, that's one thing. If you're taking responsibility for yourself by, you know, going out, continuing to go out in large groups where you may be exposed to people with the disease and take it back home to people who may not have as strong immune systems, that's not such a great thing.
You know, there was a photo making the rounds on Twitter about a lot of people at the Capitol Rotunda today. Is there any sort of move so far as you've heard about maybe limiting some tourism to prevent the spread in the D.C. area?
Well, I've not seen that, although the Mayor Bowser, the mayor of the Washington, D.C., has recommended a temporary cancellation of all large groups and large meetings. Mostly that's been taking place anyway. Most of the meetings I've seen that were to take place in the next several weeks have been canceled or at least postponed until the fall.
We're talking to Julie Rovner. She's the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. And I want to look at Congress really quickly because in a lot of ways, they are a lot of them fall under the high risk demographic. They're people in their 70s who are traveling a lot. Is there a sense on Capitol Hill that we might see more lawmakers getting sick or at least impacted?
Well, there's some Congress members of Congress who are very concerned about that and think that Congress should, you know, shut down and go home. And there are others, including Speaker Pelosi, who's in that high risk age group also, who say, you know, we're in charge. We're the captains. We're the last ones to leave the ship. So there's, you know, a bit of a disagreement, although I will say I just got an email invitation to an in-person press briefing about coronavirus with two Republican senators. And I'm thinking maybe this would be the time to have a phone press conference rather mm-hmm. than gather a lot of people in a room.
I mean, the news still has to get reported, but yeah, finding alternative ways might be a good step. You know, changing tone just a little bit, several Republican lawmakers, including Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, they've referred to this as the China virus. We saw it referred to as China coronavirus, you know, in reference to the fact that the first few cases did appear in Wuhan, China. And President Trump has retweeted content with that language. What are we hearing from the CDC about that? What's the reaction been to this?
Well, it's the WHO, the World Health Organization, that named it, you know, its technical name, the disease is COVID-19. The technical name is, I believe, COV-SARS-2. It has a, you know, they come up with names and they try not to sort of pin it on sort of the place of origin. But obviously politics is politics.
And speaking of politics, we have an election underway or certainly getting there. And, you know, yesterday, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders both canceled their campaign events. It was kind of the first sign that they were adjusting their plans due to coronavirus. President Trump is still scheduled to hold a rally in Milwaukee next Thursday. Do you think that this is going to make this campaign season look different than what we're used to?
It's hard to know. I mean, it really depends how this goes, how long it goes on, whether sort of shutting things down for a couple of weeks is enough to stop the spread. I think we're just in this sort of uncharted territory right now.
There's a balance between being cautious, though, and still projecting a strong public image. We sort of heard about that with Nancy Pelosi. How do you think politicians are going to be handling balancing that in the months to come?
It's difficult. You know, we keep seeing videos of politicians who say, you know, we're not going to shake hands, and then they shake hands. It's like saying, don't touch your face, and then you touch your face. It's going to be a transition. I would note that both Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden canceled their rallies in Ohio last night because that was the request of the Republican governor. So this is not a completely partisan thing. I mean, there are sort of, you know, members of each party who are trying to be more sort of cautious and later maybe, you know, deemed responsible and politicians, you know, I noticed the president, who's sort of reputed to be a germaphobe, still out shaking hands with everybody, you know, he comes in contact with. So it's hard to know how this is going to shake out.
You know, on that front, you know, we heard in Detroit, too, that Biden in particular was holding a campaign event, everyone had to use a lot of hand sanitizer moving forward. Do you think that this could affect in some ways people going to the polls if they're worried that they might get sick if they're around a lot of other voters?
That's a big concern, although, you know, a lot of states are trying to make it easier for people to get absentee ballots, or in many states are now going to completely vote by mail. So that is one way to sort of mitigate the problem of having to stand in line, which people don't want to do, even if they're not worried about getting sick, that they can still vote without having to stand in line with a lot of other people.
In the last about 30 seconds that we have left, Julie, what will you be watching for as, you know, news in Washington, as, you know, the Trump administration is following the coronavirus? What is sort of on your radar?
At this point, it's just to see, you know, how widely this is spreading, what happens with the testing, with getting the test results back, figuring out, you know, where there are real hot spots, and, you know, whether the public officials are going to follow public health advice about how to shut it down, and what's going to happen with the rest of the world. I mean, the president is right to be concerned about the economy, about, you know, people who work for themselves and don't get paid if they don't go to work, and how to sort of square that. You know, we're a system where everybody doesn't have health insurance coverage and where health care is expensive, and whether that makes things worse.
Julie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure.
Julie Rovner is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of Kaiser's What the Health podcast. She talked with us about how the White House and Congress are reacting to the spread of the coronavirus.
Coming up in just a few minutes, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joins the show with more on legislation related to the novel coronavirus.